I'm going to read one verse, then we'll have a word of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 'Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.' Fight the good fight. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for your help tonight. Thank you so much, Lord, for such a tremendous day in your house. Such a sweet spirit here in this place. Your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for what you've already done today. I pray, God, you'd help me to be a blessing, encouragement to your people. Lord, they mean so much to you. They mean so much to me. Lord, help us tonight to hear from you. Fill us with your Spirit. I pray, God, if there be one here that's just hanging on to a false hope, that you'd save them tonight. And Lord, that you would encourage your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach to you tonight from that verse on the good fight. The good fight. Some fights, listen to me now, some fights aren't worth fighting. Does that make sense? Some fights are not worth fighting. Some fights, as a matter of fact, are flat out sinful. You shouldn't fight some fights. Some fights are wrong. For example, let me just give you some simple examples here. Maybe fighting with your spouse. Amen, preacher. That's not a good fight. Okay, that's not a good fight. Fighting with children, fighting with their brothers and sisters. That's not a good fight. Children fighting with their parents. That's not a good fight. Fighting with your boss at work. Or your co-workers at work. That's not a good fight. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, yes it is, preacher. No, it's not. It's not a good fight. Fighting with your teacher or your classmates at school. Listen, those are not good fights. They're fights, but they're not good fights. And many times we think we've got to avoid every fight. We should be, and by the way, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. And he said to humble yourselves and esteem others over and above yourselves. So we ought not to be looking for a fight. But let me tell you something. In this case, God tells us specifically that we need to fight the good fight. Can I tell you something? Listen to me, church, now. Get situated. Okay, everybody get there. They're self-situated. Get their Bibles there. Let's go. Okay, ready? Okay, this is a good fight that God tells us to fight. He's not making a suggestion here. He's not saying, I wish that you would. He's not saying, I'd be good if you would. He's saying, fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight. This is one fight that God says, go ahead and fight. This is one fight where God says, I want you to fight. This is one fight where God says, this is what I want you to do. He even says it's a good fight. There are some fights we should fight, and this one is the one, the good fight. Now listen, God's permission is here. God says to do it. He even says we should fight it. Now turn here, keep your finger here and turn over to Jude, verse 3. The little book of Jude right next to Revelation. It only has one chapter. So, Jude, verse 3. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly means sincerely. It means wholeheartedly. It means with all of your might. It means with all of your heart. It means earnestly. Notice the next words, contend for, there it is again, the faith. Fighting the good fight of faith. Contending for the faith. The word contend, listen to me, it does not mean defend. God will defend His own word. We don't have to defend it. We don't have to walk around acting like we got something to defend or like we're intimidated by when somebody doesn't want to believe God's word. God, let God defend His own word and let us just go out there and fight for it. Amen. Amen. Fight for the faith that once was delivered to the saints. once. In this old King James Bible, by the way, once delivered. We don't need a bunch of new messenger boys. We've already got one. Amen. The Holy Spirit. He delivered it, and that's all I need. I don't need all these other publishing houses and their little messenger boys trying to tell me I got to use this Bible. No, I've got the faith once delivered to the saints. Amen. That's free. Contending, though, listen to me. It means to compete. It means to compete for it. It means to vie for it. It means to fight for it. It means to get out there and actively do something to fight for the faith that once delivered to the saints. It's a battle. It's a fight, but it's a good fight. Amen. It's a war. It's a battle. It's a jungle out there. And that's what, but listen, so we've got to be found in the fight. Can God look down today and find you, my friend, in the fight? Well, I think so. You're here tonight on a Sunday night, on Easter Sunday night. You're not at home. You're not kicked back. You're not watching anything on TV. You're in church on a Sunday night. That's a good place to be. That's a good start. Amen. But listen, are you going to be in the fight tomorrow? Are you going to be in the fight this week? And will God look down from heaven and say, there's a soldier. There's another soldier of mine. Look at that. That's the one I'm talking about. Fighting that good fight that is not going to go away. The fight's not going to stop. What happens is soldiers stop fighting. More and more. But I hasten here. He says fight, contend, compete. It's a fight of faith. What is the fight of faith? Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. We just sang about this a minute ago. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It's right beside Jude, a little bit, just a few pages back. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this, listen, this ought to be something that would perk your ears up tonight. This is the victory. Amen. Oh wow, you mean I can have victory? Yeah, and this is it. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Wait a minute. I don't have to have a nuclear warhead. No. Faith. Amen. Be it unto thee according to thy faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. By grace are you saved through faith. Listen, the victory that overcomes the sin in your life, the victory that overcomes the bad habits, the victory that overcomes the people that are trying to destroy you is your faith. So listen to me. You've got to understand something. It's under attack. It is under attack. Your faith. Because it is the victory. Our faith. What is this good fight? What is this faith? It's a fight to keep the faith. It's a fight to keep the faith. Keep the faith in this book. Keep the faith. Jesus told Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Amen. Listen to me, dear friend, beloved in Christ, Satan hath desired to have thee. You're no exception, especially now that you're saved, buddy. Satan hath desired to have thee that he may sift thee as wheat. What that means is they used to take wheat out of the fields and they used to sift it through these little screens and the good stuff would fall through and the bad stuff would just blow away. It would just blow away like chaff. And Satan just wants to take you and destroy you, tear you apart and just shake you and make you crumble into pieces and blow you all over the universe so that you're worthless. He wants to sift you as wheat. Satan hath desired to have you. But listen to me, the only thing that's going to give you victory over that Satan is faith.
Amen.
Faith. She thought I was going to hit her. It's a fight to keep the faith. It's a fight to stay true to God's Word. Faith is not, again, I've said this 100 times, but faith is not just a feeling. Faith is you taking God's Word and putting it to work in your life. Faith without works is dead. In other words, faith without works is no faith at all. A dead man is not really a man at all, is he? He's dead. Faith without works is dead. If you're not doing anything, your faith is dead. And that way, you're not fighting the good fight. You're dead. It's a fight, though, isn't it? The reason the Bible says fight the good fight is because it's not a flower field, a field of roses, a tiptoe through the tulips. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Amen. It's warfare. But listen to me, it's a good fight. Amen. It's a fight that God says, go ahead and fight it. As a matter of fact, you need to fight it or else you're not going to have the faith you need to see the victory that I want to give you, God says. You're going to have to fight the fight to keep the faith, to understand that I can do all things through Christ. Amen. That's faith. Do you really believe that? If you don't believe that, then your faith is gone. If you'll believe that, you'll work accordingly. You remember when Jesus came to Bethany 4 days after Lazarus was buried? Martha ran out and said, Jesus, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, your brother is going to be resurrected. And she says, yeah, I know. He'll be resurrected in the last day. And he looked at her and he said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. And then he asked her a question. Believest thou this? She said, yea, Lord, I believe. And then she left. She said, I believe, I believe, I believe. Well, they got down to the tomb where Lazarus was buried. And Jesus said, Martha, I want you to roll the stone away so Lazarus can come out. And Martha said, but Lord, he stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days. He stinketh. Now, wait a minute. She just said she believed. It's easy to say, I believe. Until God says, do it. Roll the stone away. But God, that's what she said. But Jesus, he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. It's like saying, but Jesus, maybe you don't understand what's really happening here. Right. Have you ever prayed like that? Lord, don't you understand what's going on in my life? Lord, don't you understand what I'm going through? Yes, he does.
Amen.
Faith is the victory. Amen. Faith is the victory. Do what he says. If he says roll the stone away because he's going to raise a dead person, then just do what he says. And then he said to her again, Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God. See, we want to see to believe. God says believe and you'll see.
Amen.
That's what faith is. Believing the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She had never seen Lazarus resurrected before. But faith would have been, okay, it's as good as done because Jesus said it. But see, I hasten. But faith is our victory. Therefore, faith is under attack. It's a fight to keep the faith. It's a fight to stay true to God's word. How do I stay true to God's word? You do what he says. Now, I know that's easy to say. I know that. I'm not crazy. But you do what he says when you don't understand it. That's faith. You roll that stone away when you don't understand. Because there may be something stinky behind there. But when Jesus gets involved, listen, the stink goes away. The death goes away. The heartache goes away. The tears go away. And life is brought forth, amen, out of a tomb. That's what we're talking about. Easter Sunday, right?
Amen.
Amen. Faith. It's a fight to keep the faith every day. It's a fight to keep true, stay true to this book by obeying it. You two new Christians here, you little children, 10 and 7? 8? 7?
She's
11. Vanessa?
7.
Yeah. 7 and 11. It's a fight. It's going to be a fight for you. It's a fight for all of us, but especially when you ain't been around this very long. It's a fight. Stay excited about Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Stay excited about what he's done for you. Every time I hear Brother Josh pray, it's obvious he's still excited about what Jesus has done for him. Amen?
Amen.
And that's good. That you need to just keep it real. Keep it alive. Keep the excitement. Keep it fresh. Amen? The Bible says, thou hast anointed me. Thou will anoint me with fresh oil. Wake up tomorrow and say, I'm saved. Amen. Praise God. I'm just as saved today as I ever was, and I'll be saved again tomorrow. I'm going to go out and fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight to stay in God's will, isn't it? Where does God want you? What does God want you to do? Samuel surrendered to preach here at the missions conference. Fight to stay in God's will already. Already. Hear mommy say it? Amen. It's a fight to stay in God's will. It's a fight to stay in God's house, to stay faithful to His church. Isn't it? Isn't it? Why is it so hard to get up and go to church? You get up and go to work, you get up and go to school, but listen, because this is the house of God. This is what Satan is attacking. This requires you to come by faith, believing God, trusting Him. It's a fight.
Amen.
It's a fight to stay faithful to His house. It's a fight to stay true to the Word of God, to keep the faith, to stay true, to walk in witness for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a fight, isn't it? We rejoice when we hear testimonies like Sister Liz and Brother Sammy and those that are new in church, and they're giving out tracts. And Miss Ophelia, boy, she just gives out tracts everywhere. She's a blessing. Amen. And we're having track attack again in a few days, months, weeks, whatever it is I'm trying to say. But listen, it's exciting, isn't it? But it's a fight to be faithful, to do it all year. It's a fight to be faithful every Saturday morning. That's my Saturday. That's my time. Really? You're losing the fight when you start saying that. Amen. Okay, now you got quiet. I know. It's a fight to be a witness. Why does being a witness for Jesus? Because it's a fight. Because you have to see their faces, and you have to hear their rejection, and you have to hear their laughter, and you have to think, and you have to see them throw it down. And you, and listen, but just keep fighting the good fight. It's a good fight.
Amen.
It's a good fight. It's a fight to raise your children according to the Bible.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. It's a fight to raise your children and train them up in the way that they should go. It's a fight, isn't it? All you parents, just nod your heads. Amen. Yes, it is. It's a fight. But it's a good fight.
Amen. That's right.
It's a good fight. It's a fight that God says, don't stop fighting. Let's keep fighting the good fight of faith. A good fight means, listen to me, that it's worth fighting. I'm tired, preacher. I'm discouraged. Well, of course you're tired. Of course you're discouraged. You're fighting. We're not in heaven. We're fighting. Of course you're tired. Of course you feel discouraged, yea, even depressed sometimes. But you keep fighting, and guess what happens? You come to church like you're supposed to be, and this little boy gets saved.
Amen.
And this little girl gets
Amen.
Saved. And this little girl we're still praying for.
Amen.
And they sing, and they shout, and they laugh. And you get to see each other, and you get to realize, there's Dalen, there's Miss Mary Jane, there's Ethan, there's Amadi. In that suit that I want him to give me. And you keep fighting. And God gives you a fresh breath of air. Oh, man. I'm just going to tell you, it's real. Because it's a fight. The Bible says not to grow weary in well-doing. Why does it say that? Because it's a fight. To do right in a world full of wickedness. The Bible says this whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world. So it's a fight, isn't it? To not lie in wickedness with them. It's a fight to stand up and be different. It's a fight to look different. It's a fight to walk, act, talk, be different. It's a fight. Of course you're going to get tired. But that's why I'm trying to preach this tonight. Because God says, fight it. Keep fighting it, because it's a good fight.
Amen.
And it's a fight that will grow your faith.
Amen.
If it's worth fighting, then it stands to reason. Listen now. If it's worth fighting, then it must be worth doing our very best.
Amen.
If it's a good fight, And it's the only fight that we're going to keep, that's going to keep our faith, and it's a fight that's going to give us victory over sin in this world, then we need to do and be our best when we're in the fight.
Amen.
Listen, when I went to boot camp, you know what they did? They taught me that I was overweight, out of shape, and lazy. I didn't think I was. But it didn't take long for me to realize I was. So they put a sea bag full of, well, everything that they could find on my back. They put boots on my feet. And they sent me marching, double timing all over the base with the rest of my company. Double timing is running. Marching is just walking. And they did it day and night. Then it was push-ups, then it was sit-ups, then it was jumping jacks, then it was, oh man, I can't remember all the things they did to me. It was torture. They tortured me. They weren't trying to kill me. You know what they were doing? They were preparing me so that I would be at my best when I got in the fight. See, we need to understand, if we're going to be at, if it's a fight worth fighting, and it's a fight that's going to keep us in the faith, it's a fight that's going to give us victory over the world and sin, then we need to be at our best. We need to train.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We need to train. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. You know what he's saying there? He says, listen, if you're going to get in a race and run, and by the way, you are in the race. The race, by the way, is a fight. It's a fight against a whole lot of different things. We'll get into that in a minute. But if you're going to run a race, he says, if you're going to run, run to win.
Amen.
Run to win. Run to be the very best Christian you can be. Run to be the very best runner you can be. Now, I know some of you ain't run in years. But fortunately, we're talking... Thank you, Lord. Fortunately, we're talking about a spiritual race here. Amen. But we can, listen, just like you ain't running years physically, God forbid that we lay down spiritually and stop running too. A runner has got to prepare himself for the race. He says you run in a race, only one's going to receive the prize. Who's that one that's going to receive the prize? The one who's best prepared. The one who's done the most preparation beforehand. The one who has trained. Exercise, worked out, done the work ahead of time, so when he gets to the race, his belly's not hanging down over his belt.
Amen.
He looks like he's really going to win a lot, isn't he? Well, no, he's not going to win anything, except for the most disgraceful looking runner. But in our spiritual lives, listen to me, it's the same way. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be reading the Bible. We need to be in prayer. We need to be faithful to the house of God. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's preparation for the fight. Listen, there's not a whole lot of fight once you're in here. I mean, we're all on the same team in here. I think. I hope. Sometimes I wonder, but... I leave that to God. But we're in here for preparation.
Amen.
We're in here for preparation to get ourselves in shape, to get ourselves right with God, to get our hearts back focused where it needs to be, to lift our spirits, to lift our hearts, to lift our eyes back on the fields of harvest and back on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And then we go back to the battle. But this is preparation. This is training. Training, training, training. I'm tired of Christians. Listen, we ought not to settle for mediocrity. We ought to want to be the best Christian that we could possibly be. I didn't say you're going to be the better than him or me or him. We're going to be the best that we can possibly be. the best Javier, the best Samuel, the best Alyssa, the best Brother DeShazo, the best, look in verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Striving for the mastery is striving to be the best. In verse 25, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know, the crowns and the trophies that they get are going to be moth-eaten one day and corroded and wasted and trash. They're going to end up in the attic like all my trophies did when I was younger. And my wife said, what are these for? Get rid of these. I think I can use this box for something else. And there goes all my memories. When I was Superman, no. But, I mean, those things are gone. Those days are gone. That it's corruptible. It's gone. But we're talking about earning incorruptible crowns in heaven by working and serving and fighting the good fight. And listen, God's in heaven laying up rewards for us. Laying up crowns for us. Are you listening to me tonight? God wants us to strive for the mastery. Being the master means being the best Christian you could possibly be. What does God want you to do? What does God have for you? You need to be the best preacher you can ever be. So do I. So do I. I need to be the best dad I can possibly be. I need to be the best husband I could possibly be. You need to be the best Christian. I need to be the best Christian. You know, if we're focused on being the best Christian, all of those other things will just fall right into place.
Amen.
If we'll focus on being right with God, fighting the good fight of faith, all of those other things will fall right into place. I'll be the best husband I can be. I'll be the best dad I can be. I'll be the best preacher I can be. I'll be the best Christian. Then all of those other things will fall into place. We ought to train, and we've got to train. Look at verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. And I'm not just running around in circles. Do you have a purpose? Like, listen to me, what's your purpose? What are you trying to achieve for God in this life? I mean, look, he says, I'm not going to run as uncertainly. I'm not going to fight. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm trying to beat the air. That's ridiculous. That's a waste of energy. It's a waste of time. And it, quite frankly, it's ridiculous. Wasting our time beating up the air. There's a real enemy out there that we need to be fighting.
Amen. That's right.
We have to train ahead of time. We have to train. We have to also be tenacious. Listen to me. That means, look, go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, or go to 2 Timothy this time. We were in 1 Timothy. But 2 Timothy chapter 2. If we're going to fight, then we need to give God our best. We need to be at our best, prepared for the fight. We need to train. We also need to be tenacious. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now notice that he says to be strong. Notice that word though, therefore. That therefore is a reason. There's a reason it's there. When you see a word, when you see that therefore, you need to look up above it in the scriptures preceding it to find out what it's there for. So he says, thou therefore be, son, my son, be strong. Why? Look back up in verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Now Paul's telling Timothy, I'm suffering and you're about to take my place. He says, I have suffered these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. He says, Timothy, listen to me. You're going to have to be strong, but remember, it's not about you. It's about whom you have believed. And you got to get to know him. He says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded, in verse 12 still, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It's a good thing that we don't have to keep our salvation. That's a real good thing, isn't it, that we don't have to keep our salvation. He gave it to us and He's going to keep it for us. Amen. And I'm persuaded because I know Him. Listen, verse 13. Now he's leading up to something here. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Hold fast. That means to hold on to them. Hold on to them. Don't let them go for anything or anybody. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith. Oh, there's faith again, isn't that? And love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. He's telling the young man Timothy to hold fast, to keep it. Because in verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Stop right there. Why did he say, thou therefore, my son, be strong? Because not everybody is going to stay with you. You're going to have to be tenacious. Hold fast. Both hands. Holding on to what you know to be true. Holding on to the one that saved you. Holding on with both hands, holding fast, keeping that good thing, keeping it solid, strong in both hands, tenacious. Amen. Be thou therefore strong, because listen to me, you're going to be on the battlefield shoulder to shoulder fighting, and you're going to turn around and say, where'd they go? Where'd they go? Paul says, everyone has left me. Everyone left him. Why? Because they weren't strong. Because they weren't prepared. Because they weren't training. Because they quit fighting the good fight. And listen to me, you can't worry about what anybody else is doing. You've got to be strong. You've got to be tenacious. You've got to understand. Thou therefore, beloved brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord. Hold fast the things that God's given you. Don't let anybody or anything deter you from what you know to be right. Keep fighting the faith. You're going to have to be tenacious. You're going to have to train. You're going to have to be tough. Tough. But I want you to notice something that says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about something that you can do on your own, church. When I try to do it on my own, I fall on my face. Miserably. I fail miserably. I'm a grief to my Lord. The Bible says to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I hate when I do that. But I do. I cause Him grief. Sorrow. When I back out of the fight. When I decide to do it on my own, in my strength. My way. I'm a grief to my Lord and my Savior, but wait a minute. I'm a grief to my family. I'm a grief to you. This church. I can't fight the fight in my own strength. I've got to fight the fight in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so do you.
Amen.
It's a good fight.
Right.
But I'm a pathetic soldier on my own. I'm a pathetic soldier on my own. I embarrass myself. I embarrass my Savior. I embarrass my family. You say, preacher, what did you do? I didn't do anything. Except try to do it on my own. We've got to be tenacious, holding on to what we know to be true. The Word of God. The things that we know, the sound words. And listen, yes, we get discouraged, like I said, because it's a fight. We get beat up even because it's a fight. But we've got to be tenacious. We've got to be tough. Look in verse 3. It says, thou therefore, of that same chapter 2, 2 Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness. You've got to be tough. Understand hardness is part of it. Hardness is part of it, church. Hardness is where God comes along and says, I'm going to make you a better soldier. But you have to endure hardness. You're going to have to endure the hardness as a good soldier. And then no man, in verse 4, that warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We're going to have to be training. We're going to have to be tenacious, not let go for anybody or anything. And we're going to have to, quite frankly, just be tough by staying away from the affairs of this life, by keeping ourselves untangled from the affairs of this life, separated from the world. I'm telling you, church, listen to me. It's a good fight. It's a fight worth fighting. It's a fight that our children need us to fight. It's a fight that this country needs us to fight. It's a fight that many others before us have fought. And listen, and God deserves that we fight it with all of our hearts, earnestly contending for the faith. It's a good fight. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight that's going to bring us victory in the end. Amen. It's a good fight, but it's still a fight.
Amen.
It's still a fight. What are we fighting for? We're fighting for the sound doctrine of that book. That's what it boils down to. If you're fighting anybody out there in that world, it's not because you disagree about who's the best basketball team, or the best race car driver, or the best football team. That's not what the real fight of the faith is, when you disagree, when you say, this is what God says, and they say, I don't care. That's what we're fighting for.
Amen.
That book. That's a good fight.
Amen.
We're fighting for that book. We are fighting for that book. Number two, what are we fighting against? We're not fighting against a person. That's why you need to be very careful. We're fighting against Satan. We're fighting against the spirit of this world. And listen now, this is the greatest enemy you have. Yourself.
Amen. That's right.
You're fighting against the sins of your flesh. It's a good fight. And you can win. Because you, if you're saved, they say amen.
Amen.
You can win. It's a good fight. Why is it such a good fight, preacher? Because it's guaranteed victory. Woo! That's a good fight. I can't lose.
Amen.
That's worth fighting.
Amen.
But it's a fight. I'm fighting for the sound doctrine of this book. I'm fighting against Satan. I'm fighting against the spirit of this world and the sins of my own flesh. I'm not fighting people. Don't miss this, right? You're not fighting a person. You're not fighting that person that you're thinking of right now. No, the battle's not with that person. The battle's with Satan, the spirit of this world, and the sins of that person's flesh that you have just as much as they do. The fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's against a spirit of darkness that fills people's hearts without Jesus Christ, or even sometimes Christians' hearts after they go back into the darkness. The fight is not against a person, though. You're not my enemies. Sometimes I have to remember that. I'm not up here trying to preach to you so I can kill you. I'm up here trying to preach to help you.
Amen.
To feed you. To encourage you. To strengthen you. To motivate you.
Amen.
But when you get out of sorts with God and go off on your own and do your thing wrong, I have to remember, I'm not fighting against you. I'm fighting against the spirit of this world, Satan, and the flesh that we all have. Your mom and dad, your brother and sister, your co-workers, those people that just cuss and make fun of God and give you such a hard time, your fight is not against them. Be careful. You need to be very careful. Fight the good fight of faith. Pray for them. Do right. Do what you know is right. Hold forth the word of God in a wicked and perverse generation. Hold forth the word of God. Amen. Walk strong. Walk tall. Walk filled with the Spirit of God. Fight the good fight of faith by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let God God do the work that only He can do.
Amen.
Don't fight them. That's not a good fight. That's a fight that nobody's going to win. But I'm getting to this. We fight for the sound doctrine. We fight against the spirit of darkness. But what are we fighting to gain? We're fighting, what's the cause of our fight? Should we neglect the cause? The Bible says that David, when he came up against Goliath, he looked at his brothers and his king, and he saw them cowering in fear for one man. And they began to mock him, and they began to laugh at him, and they began to say, what are you doing? You're just a youth. You don't know what you're doing. You're not a soldier. You can't fight him. And David said, looked at him, he said, is there not a cause? Isn't it worth it to fight this giant? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He said, there's a good reason to fight this enemy. There's a cause. What is the cause? Listen to me. You know what it was for David? The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. I'm going to fight so that God gets more glory out of my life. I'm going to fight so I can have more of God's grace. Listen to me. Grace is given for the fight. Remember, I just read to you a minute ago, be strong, my son, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you want more grace, then get up and get back in the fight. Listen, don't expect God to pour out His grace on you when you're living and entangled yourself in the affairs of this life. Get out of that spider web. Stop being spider food and go out and fight. Clean up yourself. Get the armor of God back on and get your sword shined up and get out in the fight. Amen. And God will pour out His grace on you. Why? Because His grace is for the fight.
Amen.
His grace is not for sin. His grace is not for lazy Christians. His grace is for the fight. I'm going to get back in the fight because I need more grace. I'm going to get back in the fight for the glory of God. I'm going to get back in the fight, listen, I'm done, for future godly generations. Should we neglect the cause? Should we forget the lost and fail to point the sinner to the cross? Then would our labor be in vain if we denied Jesus' name to a world dying in their sin, shame, darkness? Should we neglect the cause? Listen, there's a cause. It's God's glory. It's God's grace. It's these next generations if Jesus doesn't come back soon. Somebody's got to hold the fort for them. It's a good fight. You say, preacher, why did you preach this on Easter? I'll tell you why. Because the only reason there's an empty tomb today is because my Savior fought that fight. We would have no reason to have Easter. We would have no reason to be here today if Jesus would have not fought the good fight.
Amen.
To the finish. Oh, you think He needed grace? Oh, yeah. Do you think He was doing it for His Father's glory? Oh, yeah. Do you think He was thinking about future generations? Oh, yeah! Here we are!
Amen. That's right.
Here we are. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's a good fight, but it's a fight. And it's guaranteed victory. Man, any other fight, you could lose. Matter of fact, any other fight, you will lose if you get out of the will of God. Jesus fought His fight. I want to remind you, when he came to the earth, there was not one church in all the world. Listen to me. When Jesus came from heaven to this world, there was not one church. Oh, there was temples and synagogues and there was Jewish things, but there was not one independent, local, New Testament Bible preaching church. For one thing, there wasn't even a completed Bible yet. There was not one church preaching the Bible. There was a bunch of Pharisees, Sadducees, and other self-righteous false prophets. There was no Bible, there was no church, there was no righteousness, there was the Jews, and then the rest of the world was pagan, idolatrous, heathen. And he came from all of glory, right smack dab in the middle of that. You don't think it was a fight? You don't think it was a fight? You and I have a whole lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
We've got a Bible, we've got a Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit too. But we've got friends, we've got others around us, we've got God's power manifested, we've got people getting saved, we've got a whole lot to be thankful for. We just need to get up out of the ditches, get up out of the scary Goliath dens, and get back out in the fight. Understanding the empty tomb is there. We have the victory. Amen. The grave clothes are there. Jesus is no longer there. He's arisen. He's alive. It's a good fight. It's guaranteed to win. Amen. Go forward and fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
What's your answer going to be? Are you in the fight? Are you doing everything you should be? Our Heavenly Father, I pray you bless the message tonight. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you that He fought the fight, that He kept the faith. Lord, I thank you that He gave us the victory, that empty tomb.